Hey, this is Father Voskan, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, and all things spiritual. The Next Step is a podcast that allows you to look at the very fabric of life through some very ancient lenses that have been polished up just right with the polish of orthodoxy. Armadoxy, to be exact. This podcast is being made possible by the good folks over at Apostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So, if you're ready, let's take the next step. And do you know the kind of stuff you're going to find on the next step today? Whoa, it runs the gamut. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Did you know God did not create the universe? Yes, we got it just a few days ago. Yes, Stephen Hawking let us know that God did not create the universe. Well, that's some exciting news. Well, definitely some news that we need to address. That's coming up later in our show today. We're excited around here in the Southern California area. First of all, the heat has subsided. Oh, that heat was just too much. And I don't know, last couple days have been overcast over here. But it is not going to be overshadowed by something incredible that's happening. A historic event. The Catholicos of all Armenians is coming to the Los Angeles area to consecrate the cathedral in Burbank, California, to be exact. Southern California is still the same. And very exciting, to tell you the truth. A lot of people have been involved in this project, and it has been a long project. It has been going for, well, quite some time. You know, the Western Diocese, one of the most dynamic dioceses in the Armenian Church, has been without one permanent home. It's kind of skipped around from different places. And finally, it's getting its home. But, you know, we're going to talk about the building itself, because a lot of time there is a tendency to say that, you know, faith is, well, something of the heart, and you really don't need these structures and buildings. Is that true? I'll tell you a little bit about, well, coming from my personal experience, that, well, we put together some churches in our time, and I have noticed that it does change things. We'll talk about that in a few moments. Today, the big news, well, here in America, last few podcast, we've been discussing this mosque at Ground Zero. Now, this week, we've got a pastor who is saying, I shouldn't use that word. We've got some guy who's saying that we should like start burning the Quran. And we should get out there and take our copies of the Quran and burn them. And this is going to send a signal to Islam and tell them that stay out of our country. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with the United States. We're going to be talking about that as well today. Kind of interesting that these things happen. And I refuse to give the guy's name. I think he's got enough credit and enough, well, yes, exactly, credit, because that's all these are. These are big publicity stunts, and they work to these people's credit. So we've got a full schedule today. A lot of things to talk about, and I'm excited about today's podcast. But let me begin, because the excitement here in Southern California is just beginning. This evening, His Holiness Karakin II, the Supreme Patriarch and Catholicos of all Armenians. Now, what does that mean? In the Christian Church, you know that there are three main orders. There is deacon, priest, and bishop. All of the other things that we talk about are honors that are given. Like, for instance, a bishop gets the honor of being called an archbishop when he's in charge of a diocese, or usually it's given in the Armenian church because of the years that he's dedicated to the church. Or a priest becomes, this is archpriest. I always thought that word is funny, because in Armenian, arch means, it means a bear, you know, so the bear priests. Anyway, that's another thing. That's something that loses in translation. But we've got deacons, priests, and bishops. Now, the Armenians have this fourth order, which is called the Catholicos. The Catholicos is interesting because he is a consecrated, it is a consecrated rank. It is not just an elected position. Much like the Pope from the Cardinal of Bishops, he is selected. The Armenian Catholicos is selected from a national ecclesiastical meeting. That means there are priests, there are bishops, there are and there are laity who vote on him. But the voting is not enough. It's not enough that he is elected. It is not enough that hands are laid on him. He is consecrated. And so technically it becomes a fourth rank. It becomes a fourth order in the church. And so there he is, the Catholicos of all Armenians, this very, very special position being occupied today by His Holiness Karakin II. In his person, he arrives to the Los Angeles area this evening, and for the next several days, he will be involved in consecrating this cathedral. Now, we'll have a lot of reports on it. I'm planning on tweeting from there, so if you're following our tweets, you should be able to get some of the news. We'll be blogging about it. A lot of excitement about it. A lot of things to talk about. But here's the interesting thing, and a lot of times people come up to me specifically because they know how important the virtual church is for me. Well, by virtue of this podcast, right? We know that what electronics can do. And they say, well, is it necessary to have a church? Is it necessary to build these giant buildings? And I got to admit, on its face value, you have to sit back and wonder, is it worth spending the millions that you do for these buildings? But in my personal experience, being a priest for 28 years and got a couple years before that as a deacon, you know, people congregate around buildings. Buildings are very important, and I think architects will tell you about this. There's a fantastic book a friend of mine once gave to me called The Patterns of Living or The Patterns of Life, and it talks specifically about this. People congregating, the patterns that we set up in our lives. And I noticed this the first time in San Jose. We used to get together in a small house. We used to get together in halls as churches while the building of our church was taking place. And we built a beautiful church in San Jose. If you ever get a chance to get out that way, Silicon Valley, it's called the St. Andrew Armenian Church. You got to see it. It is beautiful. Traditional Armenian architecture. Would you believe the following Sunday, that place started filling up. People that we didn't even know about. As a pastor, I'm confessing to you, I didn't even know that these people were in the area. But they congregated to the church. They congregated to the edifice. There was something about that dome. And we're seeing that this week as well, well, the last several weeks. You know, in Akhtamar, one of the most beautiful Armenian churches, Akhtamar is a region of the Lake Van area in Armenia. And this has been occupied by Turkey during the last several years. And the Turks have refused to let Armenians go into that area and treat that church as a church. Right now it's a museum. Well, there just this last few months, a lot of activity over there because a small group of young people went into Lake Van, went to Akhtamar, and they started singing inside that church, and they were escorted out by the Turkish police. You could see that on YouTube. Let's see if we could get a link to that in our show notes today. We'll definitely put that there if we could find that link. I saw it a few weeks ago. It is tragic. It is very moving. It brought me to tears. Young kids coming into an ancient Armenian church and being thrown out by the Turkish gendarmes, by the Turkish police. Are you talking about this is like a free country? No, it isn't. And to add insult to injury, that's an Armenian church that they were in. Well, here's the big one. The Turks said, okay, come and celebrate the Divine Liturgy at this church, Akhtamar. Come on, Armenians, come and celebrate. And Armenians were invited. But guess what? The Turks said, oh, by the way, you can't stick a cross on the top of the church. Come and celebrate, but by our rules. No. What are we talking about? I know. Sounds familiar, right?
No brag.
Yeah, last few weeks we've been talking about the mosque at Ground Zero, and here we are in Turkey. Basically, you've got these Armenian churches, historic Armenia. Church is taken away, basically in ruins, and you want to go there and you want to say a prayer, and the very simple symbol of Christianity, the cross, is not allowed to go in with you. It's not allowed to be put on the altar or on top of the church. Well, there's something wrong. It means that we're not inviting you to pray. We're inviting you for some politics over here, you know? Because we don't want the prayer part. We don't want the cross over there. Anyway, I was happy to find out that the Catholicos in Armenia, the Etchmiadzin, the Catholicos of all Armenians, as well as the Catholicos in Antilias, both of them have said that they would not participate, and rightly so. You know, you don't want to bring, you know, if they want to play the political game, let them play it. For our purposes, if we need to pray, thank God we have enough Armenian churches. But it brings us to this idea of, like, do you need the structure? And like I said, from my experience, I found that those structures are places where people gather. And certainly that's what happened in the few places where I've been. And I know that it's important as far as identity, as far as saying there is a roof under which we congregate. And certainly you could congregate under the roof of the sky. I mean, some of my most spiritual moments have been up in the mountains, at the beach, and as I'm sure it has been for you too, when you are one with nature, when you see the wonders of God. Throughout Holy Scripture, you read many of the poets of Scripture talking about being one with God. Where? In nature, outdoors. But that too, in a sense, is the structured building, the structure of the mountains, the structure of the sea. It's not haphazard. It is not chaotic. Do you see where I'm going with all this? You bring it all together in a church. You bring it all together in a universe. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes when we get to Stephen Hawking's section. But I thought I'd give this as the opening today. We want to welcome His Holiness Karakin II, the Supreme Patriarch Catholicos of all Armenians, as he comes to consecrate this building. And I understand the Western Diocese is going to be streaming it on their website, so you may want to check that out, definitely. That's ArmenianChurchWD.com is their website. We'll put a link on ours and you could check it out. A lot of excitement going on. The Catholicos, as well as many bishops of the church, will be present, as well as priests, and the bishops who have the authority to consecrate, and with the Catholicos, they will be consecrating 16 different points in the church, each of which is named after one of the saints, 16 saints, of course, the 12 disciples, including Matthias, who replaced Judas. There will also be the consecration of the pillars in the middle, which are consecrated in the name of the four evangelists, St. Gregory the Illuminator, St. Paul the Apostle also. So you put them all together and you've got 16 different pillars of the church, which are consecrated with the Holy Muron. So you get to see that. It's a fantastic, it's a historic opportunity. And when you get a chance to be out in the Southern California area, do make a plan of seeing it, as well as any Armenian church. Because here's the deal. This Armenian church and every Armenian church gets consecrated with that Holy Muron. And that's what unites it all. There's so much mystery. There is so much that really brings it all together. When I tell you Armadoxy, it's something new. It's ancient glasses that have been polished up in a very new manner to allow us to have a new perspective. Ancient, yet new. It's wild. It's wild. And as is this show today, we've got a great show for you. And we've got Ani. These boots are made for walking, your hint. And that's just what they'll do. That's your hint for today. And we've got just a lot of topics, as I told you about, that we want to get through. But first of all, we're going to start off with the song of the day. I picked out a tune from Zulal.
Chorodi, 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 gmorodi, gimyarne, mekhadi ke imyarne. Хочон чурцин рукуге, хай юр бахэра тунгуге, юр сырдига пакуге, хай ануш ярин кыргуге.
Гармир ганан чакерес, кылхилат чакаберес, гармир лалатарелес, хочон сирды варерес. Ту хородига вартерес, хороди, хороди, хородиг мороди им ярне, мэйкадиге им ярне. Хороди, хороди, хородиг мороди им ярне, мэйкадиге. Хороди, хороди, хородиг мороди им ярне, мэйкадиге им ярне. Хороди, хороди, хородиг мороди им ярне, мэйкадиге им ярне.
There you go. How's that? Is that a waker-upper or what? Хародик, мародик. I love these kind of words. The unmistakable sound and clarity of Zulal, that is from Notes to a Crane album. And the song is called Maratuk, The Mountain. Gotta check that out. Wherever good music is sold, you could find Zulal, and we'll definitely have a link on our show notes. Gets us in the mood because there is a lot of excitement over here. Unfortunately, it's not as exciting as that tune was. It is kind of like negative excitement over here. Of course, we are coming on the anniversary of 9/11, and these last 9 years since it happened in 2001 have been very interesting, how life has unfolded and life has changed for so many people. And anybody who's done any traveling, anybody who lives in big cities, knows that there's a lot of different security issues that have come about because of 9/11. And, well, let's say it really simply, life has changed. Life has changed. We are living in different times. And you can measure it pre-9/11 and post-9/11. Living in different times where people are walking around with suspicion. And that suspicion, unfortunately, a lot of times breeds hatred as well. Interesting, isn't it? That just from suspicion, what the mind can do, and how some thoughts can start evolving, and you get into this entire hatred. Where does hatred come from? Is that instilled in us? Is that something we pick up along the way? Is it from anger? You know, many times we talk about sin. You know, the sin is not killing somebody, although don't try it at home. The sin is not stealing. The sin is not what the Jewish people told you in the Ten Commandments. The sin are the things that come from the heart, the hatred, the jealousy that you have, the envy that you have for other people, the ability to look at somebody and not see them as people, but be prejudgmental, prejudice in the way you look at people. These are sins. These are heavy-duty ones. And this is what the goal of religion should be. When we a lot of times talk about the goal, the end goal of religion is right, is what? Is to do away with the ego. Jesus said so many times, Jesus instructed us that he who loves his life will lose it, but he who hates his life, he who is able to put the ego to one side, sacrifice himself for others, will gain it for eternal life. And you realize that the things that even in your small lifetime that matter are the things that come with sacrifice or given to you with sacrifice. Well, we are at a point right now where many people have sacrificed their lives, not only on 9/11, but afterwards as well. We conjure up these ideas that we can only resolve issues through military action. Now, a couple weeks ago, I played for you that small little clip from President Obama's acceptance speech from the Nobel Peace Prize. It's tragic to me. It's tragic that you have a winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. As much as I admire the president, as much as I worked and campaigned for him, I was really let down. When he turns around and he says that certain evils need to be combated with brute force, with violence. We need to start dreaming of worlds. We need to start setting up worlds where you don't need violence. Peace can only be achieved through peace, not through weapons. Jesus said it so clearly. He says, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Now, this isn't a threat. This isn't saying, hey, if you pick up the sword, you're going to die by it. No, it's an axiom. In other words, it's just a basic truth. You want to live by the sword, that's how you're going to die. You want to build up military power, when then you're going to be inviting other military powers to be striking you. Violence will only breed violence. We need to start thinking of paradigms. We need to start thinking of models where peace is the ultimate goal, and we achieve peace how? Through peace, through love, through our interactions with one another. And so what we have on this 9th anniversary of 9/11, we have a guy who, and this is, will be the last time you hear me use this word in reference to him. I refuse to give his name. He calls himself a pastor. Now, a pastor is one who cares for his sheep. Jesus says this so beautifully. He says, I lay my life down for my sheep. The good shepherd. A pastor is someone who cares about his people. Obviously, this guy doesn't care. He cares about what? Publicity, and he's getting a lot of it. He's getting a lot of it. You know, that's part of your 15 minutes, the Andy Warhol 15 minutes. He's got it. This guy's getting it this weekend. What he's decided to do is go around and collect the Quran, the holy book of Islam, and burn the copies. So bring your Quran to this center he's got, and let's burn it. And he's been denounced by not only, well, some of the big ones, including Pope Benedict, but he's been denounced even by his own church people. But he's doing it. Okay, now this joker, this, well, and he's smart because he's getting publicity. You know, there's something to be said. All publicity is good publicity, and it's certainly fine for him. It's not the way a Christian lives. First of all, ask yourself something really basic, something very easy, okay? If Jesus were here, would he burn the Quran? There you go. Here's your answer right there. If Jesus were here right now, would he go and participate with this guy and start shoveling up the Quran and say, let's burn it? Or would Jesus do exactly what he did 2,000 years ago? Walk amongst the hatred, walk amongst the criminals and say, I love you. I care for you. I see you and I forgive you. I love you. You see, Jesus gives us this incredible, not only message, but he gives us a way of life. He gives us an example through his life. The only person who could go up on a cross and look down on his creation and say, you're forgiven. It's okay. You don't know what you're doing. And probably in that one little sentence, we can understand what's going on in this world. We are not at that point where we understand what we are doing. We don't understand it. You know, the Bible, the Quran, these are books. Put them in perspective, folks. We say the Bible is inspired by God. Think about it for a moment. These are stories that have been placed together, yes, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But you got to realize that everything has its place. It is not faith. It is not the totality of faith. It is not God. Ready for me to say it again? The Bible is not God. God didn't give you a Bible. God didn't give you the Quran. God gave you something so special that you can't even put it on paper. You can't put it on electronic media. He gave you life. Do you realize how precious that life is? Do you realize that you have breath inside of you? And that breath can only come from God. I want to share with you this small little story. I read this when I was in college. This is from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was a writer, a Soviet writer back, well, he won the Nobel Prize for Literature back in 1970. And this small little story has stayed with me ever since I read it the first time in college. And I just want to share it with you because I think it is so powerful, yet so simple, like life should be, powerful and simple. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he writes The Duckling. a little yellow duckling flopping comically on its white belly in the wet grass and scarcely able to stand on its thin, feeble legs, runs in front of me and quacks. Where's my mommy? Where's my family? He has no mommy because he has been fostered by a hen. Duck eggs were put in her nest. She sat on them and hatched them with her own. To shelter them from the bad weather, their home, an upturned basket upon without a bottom, has been moved into a shed and covered with sacking. They are all in there, but this one is lost. Come on then, little thing. Let me take you in my hand. What keeps it alive? It weighs nothing. Its little black eyes are like beads. Its feet are like sparrow's feet. The slightest squeeze, and it would be no more. Yet it is warm with life. Its little beak is pale pink and slightly splayed, like a manicured fingernail. Its feet are already webbed. There is yellow among its feathers. And its downy wings are starting to protrude. Its personality already sets it apart from its foster brothers. And we men will soon be flying to Venus. If we all pooled our efforts, we can plow up the whole world in 20 minutes. Yet with all our atomic might, we shall never, never be able to make this feeble speck of a yellow duckling in a test tube. Even if we were given the feathers and the bones, we could never put such a creature together. That's life. That's what God gives you. You could take the bones and the feathers, you can take the meat and the bones, and you can put the structures together. You'll never have life. That's what God gives you. Now, all the other things are ways of describing, the ways of answering some questions that we as human beings have. Where did we come from? Where are we going? What do we do? What is the purpose of this life? And that's what religion does. It answers these very fundamental, essential questions that we all have in the wandering process, wandering through life. And the Bible provides answers. Does it answer those questions for me? It answers not only those questions, it answers much more for me. It gives me the foundation of my relationships with my family, with my loved ones, with my friends. It works for me. Is it the all of my faith? No. Is it for everyone? I don't know. It works for me. I don't know if it works for everybody. And everybody comes to faith. Everyone comes to their own understanding in their own, with their own resources. For some people, the Quran is a holy book. For some people, the Quran answers those questions and much more. Do I need to argue with them? It works for them. Does it keep them in a peaceful state? Are they at harmony with themselves and with their surroundings? That's up to them to answer. That's up to them to answer to themselves and to their God. And that's the kind of respect that Jesus, well, he demands of us. And he does that again through his examples. You never see Jesus saying, here is the way it works. Now you better follow me or else you're dead. You better follow me, and if you don't, I'm going to come and pull you into my life. No. Jesus gave you the information. And he let you decide. It's interesting, isn't it? You never see Jesus say, you know, he turns to the guy and he says, sell everything and follow me if you want to enter the kingdom of God. And we see that the rich boy cannot do it. The rich boy cannot leave the trappings of this world. And he walks away very sad. Now, the story is interesting at that point. What happens? Jesus continues his life. He doesn't go and say, please, please, come back with me. No, don't go that way. He says, this is the way of life. It is a life of sacrifice. It is a life of commitment. It is a life of love. Loving and caring and sharing. You want to take it? You want to understand it this way? It's your business. I'm not going to force you. For in fact, even on the cross, as he looks down on creation, don't forget, it was humanity that killed him. It was all of the people. It was the Jews. Yes, it was. It was the Jews, despite what they tell you. It was also the Romans. It was also the Armenians. It was also the Turks. It was also everybody in between. It was people. It was people looking up at their creator and saying, hey, we can't handle this intense love. And the only way we know to combat it is with violence. That's why I said earlier, violence will only breed violence. You can't do it that way. And Jesus stops it. He says, okay, violence towards me, I'm answering it with love. I'm answering it with peace. Do the same. And you've got this pastor now. I said I wouldn't say that again. Sorry about that. You've got this guy sitting out in Florida right now. He's saying, I am a representative of Jesus Christ, this love incarnate. And he's saying, bring in your Korans and we will burn it. We will show those Muslims they can't get away with coming into our country. Come on. Is that the voice of Christ? Is that really the message of love? Far from it. I got an interesting email late last night, and I'm going to throw it out at you. It will be a topic that you're welcome to share in. It is from a gentleman named Arno Yeretsian, and it says, I'm writing to you because I'm really troubled by this whole Quran issue. I really can't believe that there is a pastor out there who's planning on burning Qurans on 9/11. And that it's all over the news, and that most of the announcers and politicians are nonchalant about it. I'm really affected by all this and feel like we need to do something to counter what that pastor is doing. It is ridiculous and disgusting. And I feel like the world is watching, especially those of the Muslim faith, and seeing that everybody is just accepting this vulgar act of hatred and ignorance. So many things went through my head, even doing some negative things to counter what they're doing. But I want to stay positive. And from everything I remember you saying at the event, I want to do something positive and out of love. I don't want to impose myself and my thoughts on you. But I thought about something that might counter the negative and hateful message that pastor is spreading on behalf of the United States. What if we did something like celebrate the Quran on 9/11 and have a day where people buy or bring their copies of the Quran to a place like your church and have a day of respect and appreciation of Islam, where we honor all people of faith and celebrate the things Christians share with them, and we spread the word to everybody and to the media so that the world will see that we're not all hateful idiots out there. I like that, Arno. Yeah, it's exactly the term that I used to. I know they think we're just idiots. Well, why not? I mean, they're doing idiot things. So what do? You get people who think you're idiots because that's the only representatives you have of Christ. Certainly, this is far from the model that we follow over here. If we could get somebody like you to come out on the side of love and acceptance to draw out that other guy's acts of hatred, I think that it would spread an amazing message to the world. And think of how symbolic it would be to have a day of honoring Islam in a Christian church. Okay. As you could see, I'm very worked up about all this. And he goes on to say that, you know, he's ready to help out and work on this. And, you know, really the time is just a little bit difficult. And I think that more important, it's to keep this dialogue going, to keep this discussion going. It's much like the April 24th discussion that I've talked with you many times. We talk about genocide in April. We need to talk about genocide throughout the year. We need to be focusing on these issues the rest of life. So maybe it is better that it is sort of on the last minute and we can't pull it off for this weekend. Love to hear your thoughts. But, you know, one of the things is it is a very novel idea, Arno, what you have over here. And unfortunately, this weekend, just the timing doesn't work out. Didn't not only do what you're presenting, but even come up with some kind of a model of response. I think a lot of this is fueled by the media. It is sensational journalism at its best. You've got a pastor, Jesus Christ's messenger, who's talking about hatred, about burning things. If you remember back in the 60s, poor John Lennon got up and he said, we're more popular than Jesus Christ. He's not saying we're better. He's not saying we're anything greater. He's just saying a reality. Among the young people in the 60s, the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. Well, this incited the burning of the Beatles albums, the record albums, you know. Let's burn art, you know. And it's sensationalism at its best. And so you've got 9/11 and you've got the cameras rolling. What better thing than to find somebody who's pretending to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Christ, and we could show that how the Christians have this hatred towards the Muslim. I think during the last several weeks, we've been talking about the mosque at Ground Zero, and it has stirred up much discussion and controversy. It's so obvious that the frustration that people are feeling is fueled by really, and I listened really carefully, it's an ignorance not of Islam alone, it's an ignorance of our faith. This is why I'm really, really so focused on this Armodoxy. Christianity, when we talk about Christianity out there, it's being shaped, it's being polished even by this fundamentalism that has no place. Jesus was not this fanatic that went around and talked about hatred, about my way, the highway, the right way. No, he talked about love, about caring. When you do it for the least of my brothers, you do it for me. I am totally, totally, completely disturbed by the Armenian response to some very basic things. If you remember, after the Armenian genocide, circa 1915, who were the people who opened their doors to the refugees? To the people who were ousted from Armenia, to my grandparents? It was the Muslims. It was the Middle East. It was the Arabs. It was Lebanon. It was Syria. It was Egypt. These places that opened their doors and said, there are people there. They're Christian, but they're people. Have we forgotten those good points? Have we forgotten those examples? And guess where their inspiration came from? The same Quran that they're trying to burn right now. It's interesting, you know? Because we've really, really taken this thing way out of hand. That's why I really need to focus in with you. We're going to talk about this in the last portion of our show when we get to the Stephen Hawking stuff. But it's very important. The Bible, the Quran, these are not God. These are holy books. These are scriptures. These are guides. But life, God, the totality of life is much more than the written words. They're the essence that you feel in your heart, that you feel in your faith, you feel in your soul. And yes, you do have a soul. And just like I read a few minutes ago, there is nothing that could put that soul there except the power of God. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. Arno, thank you very much. Very, very inspired by your writing, and I hope that we can pull together something, some kind of an expression that will bring peace, that will really promote peace. I'm going to take a break right now, let Susie make her announcement, then we'll come back with some more stuff.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armodoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armodoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie. And let me just add to that, you know, it is a time right now. I know it's difficult. I know we are going through some very difficult economic hard times throughout the world, but we do appreciate your donations. It is very important that you make a statement, that you say that this ministry is an important one. Because as I said a few minutes ago, you know, if you don't do it, you're letting everybody else define what Christianity is about. That's not what it's about. Jesus' message was a simple one. It's one that Armenians were able to plug into back in the first century, and it is the reason why Armenians have survived. Think about that for a moment. They haven't had any military presence, no military strategy, and yet they've been at the crossroads of civilization between three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa, and you've had every kind of barbarian, you've had genocide go through, but these people have survived because of a very interesting faith. It's the faith that I was talking a few minutes ago, not defined by the words in a Bible, but a faith that has lived. Any of you ever thought about it? Gomidas Vartabed. Here's a guy who basically goes through the genocide. He sees his people dying. He actually loses his mind. Gomidas Vartabed, we celebrate him as this incredible musician. But first and foremost, Vartabed, he was a priest of the church. And here he is in the middle of all of this disaster. He composes one of the most beautiful songs that there can be. It's called Mystery Deep, Inscrutable. Whenever I hear that song, it's just like, okay, that's a beautiful song, but somebody who is losing his mind, somebody who is watching the destruction of his people, who is sitting there and watching his country go up in flames, genocide, who's witnessing genocide, doesn't compose something like that. They compose something angry. They compose something with violence in it. Unless they have that love in their heart. And so he sits there and he composes, Horut, mystery deep, inscrutable, without beginning. And he defines a liturgy, he defines his faith. And I'm asking you to share in that. That's what we're trying to get across with Armadoxy. The world has enough people that are spewing out hatred. We need to start spewing out this message of love, of hope, of peace, faith. And I want to thank you all for the many, many letters that we get over here. It's just really beautiful how God's working, how God is getting this message out to the four corners. He's getting it out because of the love he's put in your heart, the donations you make. Give us the equipment, give us the means, the resources to continue this work. So I'm with Susie. Press on that donate button. If you want, just drop us a check. What we're asking, though, right now is that you make it regular so that we can have a regular cash flow that is helping keep this ministry afloat. You can make a donation at any time at the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stocker Street, Glendale, California, in the U.S. of A. And if you're out this way, do plan to stop by at that address any Sunday morning. We're all there. We all congregate over there. And speaking of all of us being there this Sunday, of course, we're not going to be there because of this consecration taking place in Burbank, but someone else is not going to be there.
Hey, Bob. Do you know why my shoes just keep on walking? My shoes just keep on walking.
There's no way. You don't even come through that
much. Oh, boy. Morigachchi Kale Kale. Yes, Ani is walking. She is walking and she's got boots on. I don't think they are the boots that Nancy Sinatra would be wearing, but certainly walking shoes. And she is walking. We're so proud of her. She is doing the Avon Walk for breast cancer and to find a cure for that dreaded disease, as is my sister Anush. And our prayers are out for both of them, who are doing it with thousands of other women throughout not only the area but throughout the world, as Avon's breast cancer walk has now spread. And it is a movement raising money, awareness for this dreaded disease. And, you know, as the song says, we're going to trample all over you. We're going to walk all over that dreaded disease. We got to get rid of it. And it comes again, same way. It comes by people coming together and saying, enough is enough. We want to see the change. And we're going to be part of that change. So we'll put a link right on our show notes and you can follow it. You can make a donation for the breast walk and you could sponsor Ani. We know her bubbles. You could say, I'm sponsoring a bubble out there. That would be really cool. She does it this week, and she promises, well, it takes place Saturday and Sunday. She's preparing right now. She promises to be back with us next week with a new installment of the bubbles. Maybe she could reflect on some of the things that happened to her during that walk.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
Wouldn't that be nice to be able to stamp out cancer as easily as walking on it? Well, one day it may happen that way, huh? That's what dreaming is about, and that's what we got to keep dreaming about these impossibilities that turn into very real possibilities when people do it. That's what I think things like the cancer walk, and I hope Ani will get a chance to share with us some of her reflections, but things like the cancer walk, and all good charities do. They allow people to really reflect, to revolve around a topic, and really aim, use their energy to make things work. This is what I was talking about earlier, about the building. As much as we talk about ministry, those buildings, that infrastructure is also important. They allow, they give a place, they give a home to these kind of ministries. Very important. You just can't just do it abstractly. And there is an order to everything. And this is where we come to our final story for today. It comes to us from Stephen Hawking, who's a physicist, very celebrated physicist. In fact, I remember reading his book, A Brief History of Time, several years ago, and it was just very fascinating, and he did talk about God in there as well. But what happens is he's putting out a new book, and in it he says, God did not create the universe, and the Big Bang was an inevitable consequence of the laws of physics. The British physicist Stephen Hawking argued that in his new book, In the Grand Dragon, which is going to be co-authored by U.S. physicist Leonard Mlodinow. I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, Hawking says that a new series of theories made a creator of the universe redundant. Because because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. Why the universe exists, why we exist. This is a direct quote from his book. And I found it very fascinating because, you know, I'm really into this whole unified field theory. You know, since 1974, Hawking has been working on marrying the two cornerstones of modern physics, basically the unified field theory, you know, that we could explain everything with, one theory. Albert Einstein's general relativity theory of relativity, which concerns gravity and large-scale phenomena, and then quantum theory, which covers subatomic particles. They are on two different planes, so to speak. And can somebody really bring everything together? In the brief history of time, he says, if we discover a complete theory, it would be the ultimate triumph of human reason. For then we should know the mind of God. And I remember reading this several years ago, and it excited me. It excited me that a physicist was saying this. It excited me the idea of bringing reason into play and mixing it with an element of faith. The mind of God. What is the mind of God? And certainly when you gaze up into the stars, when you look up at the universe, and you realize that how small we are compared to the grand scheme of things, and how fortunate we are to be able to love one another, to have that capacity to love, you realize that there has to be something in play more than just, you know, the laws of gravity. There are emotions, there are feelings. And so this is an interesting story that came out. I'll be looking forward to reading Hawking's book when it comes out. I believe it's next month, but it'll be interesting in what direction he does take it. Right now, I just have these few excerpts, but I did want to share that with you because it did catch my attention, and it was on some of the local news sources, you know, the filler news, like, you know, physicist decides there's no God. And there's always some fun in it. But I'd love to hear what you have to think about it. To me, it kind of brings all of the topics that we talked about today really together. From a Catholicos coming from Armenia to consecrate with Holy Miron, a cathedral which is going to be used as a sanctuary, as a place where people congregate, where that chaos is brought into order. And then with our second story, we talked about how that order can be destroyed into chaos when we start fueling the fires of hatred with our intolerance, with our misunderstanding, with our ignorance. And we see what happens out there when people start burning books for merely one reason, to incite more hatred and more violence. And we understand that Christ's message is a very simple message of bringing it back into order and saying, hey, there is a peace. Peace is possible. And when you think about what Hawking is saying over here, is that ultimately the laws of the universe, that gravity in itself, pulls everything together. So like it or not, we will create that universe. And wouldn't that be beautiful if we could say to ourselves, like it or not, we will create that peace? Well, it takes us to do that creating. It takes us using our reason, our rationale, and the powers that God has given us. The ability to love, the ability to reach out to people and share with one another that beautiful love that God has placed in our heart. Well, we are at the end of another podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. This one was kind of fun for me because we got to talk about some very important issues that are very fundamental to our faith and our understanding of who we are. I hope it was enjoyable for you as well. We ask for your prayers this week. A lot of activities are taking place. We need the strength. We need the wisdom that only comes from God, the wisdom to really look beyond all of the rhetoric that's going to go around. 9/11 was certainly a tragedy. It was more than a tragedy. It was a point in our lifetime when we saw life change. And we know life will change. But along with it comes an awesome responsibility for us to be able to really find the courage to be, the courage to live as human beings with the love that God has placed in our heart, and realizing that love will always be more powerful than all of the hatred, the terror, the intolerance, the ignorance that they throw out at you. You want proof? It's called the resurrection. You can't hold down love. You can't hold down love. You can't bury it. You can't crucify it. You can't kill it. Love is just too powerful. And it's there for all of us. Tap into it. We call it Armadoxy. It's a little secret we've had for the last 2,000 years since Christ was revealed. Here's a chance for you to plug into it. And it's easier than you think. Plugging in, check us out at inissues.org. Check us also out at epostle.net, where you'll find this podcast as well as every podcast we've done from the beginning of time. Hear that, Stephen Hawking's from the beginning of time. It's all there. apostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, for all the wonderful people who put this together, I want to thank you for joining us. For Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani with her bubbles, who is now on the way to Santa Barbara to participate in the Avon Walk, along with Anush, and a special shout out to Susan, who proves once again that I didn't rob the cradle, celebrating a very special one this year. Hey, for all the wonderful people, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.